Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in. You're listening to Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. That is Cam St. Anjan here with me this morning. Ethan Bright is in here with me this morning. Susan Thomas helping us handle traffic, as she does so well every single morning. And it's a pretty good day out there. Probably some sunshine slowdowns. Probably some heat slowdowns this morning, don't you think?
Did you see a road actually buckled in downtown St. Louis because of the heat?
I did not.
Nothing like what we saw in Cape Girardeau, where a car went airborne because it buckled so much. But there was an issue here in the city, downtown.
I was coming in this morning on 40 heading east, and at some point I saw something on the side of the road, and it wasn't until I was up to it until I got to it that it dawned on me that it was pieces of logs like had fallen off a truck that had been chopped up. Ooh. And fortunately, clearly somebody had pushed them to the side of the road. I mean, they were against the median. But still, some pretty significant chunks of wood out there. But hopefully, that's not causing
any problems. That's like Final Destination style. That's why I don't like driving behind trucks that have a lot of stuff in the back that doesn't seem secured, because I just envision it impaling me, coming through my windshield and basically going right through my throat. Just to put that little mental image out there for all of you this morning, you are welcome.
Be alert if you're out there this morning. So we've covered a lot for you so far. We got a live report from Tel Aviv earlier from Mike Tobin, where the ceasefire stands. We've been reporting on what's going on at this NATO summit, where many people are saying they want to make NATO great again now, and they're all excited to have Donald Trump over there and to pay more for their own defense. It's an amazing thing. It really is. So the president is in the Netherlands. We've got the attorney general of the state of Missouri coming up 1 hour from now. He's given a noon deadline today for the St. Louis City Sheriff to resign or be removed from office. So the sheriff has responded. We're going to get to that for you. And we've got John Mills coming on here in the next 20 minutes or so. He's now with FEMA. He used to work at Channel 4 with me years ago. And he's now a spokesman for District 7 for FEMA. And he's been handling some of the information on this new shelter. It's a FEMA facility for information that's going to be opening up on Saturday in the city of St. Louis for people affected by the storms. So that's still straight ahead. Right now, Ethan, let's get to the shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
It's been a chronic disappointment, and I feel embarrassed that I told people to go vote for him because this wasn't going to happen, and it is happening.
I feel kind of embarrassed that I've ever praised Candace Owens for anything. She's had a little bit of a mental health breakdown over what happened in Iran and our support for Israel. I don't how you get around anything other than her anti-Semitic views on Israel, and it's really disappointing.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
That made a lot of headlines yesterday. People couldn't believe the president of the United States. But you know what makes Donald Trump popular with a lot of his people is he's real. He was frustrated. That flew out of his mouth. And a lot of people could probably share that frustration at times.
And to understand enough about the Constitution to the extent that I'm the one that's supposed to make the decision or at least get a vote.
Ooh, did you know that? Jasmine Crockett thinks she's president of the United States. She's supposed to be the one making the decision. She's the Alexander Haig of our time. No, she's not. And Operation Let Them Speak continues.
Elon Musk, he spent $270 million to elect Trump as president. I think that's absurd that any one person...
What's the most someone donated towards the Harris campaign?
They spent a lot of money on Harris as
they
well.
They spent $1.5 billion just combined over the course of a couple of months.
You got it. All right, let me talk about it. So yeah, I'm not here just to say it's a Republican. That's my point here.
Right. Okay.
Joe Rogan just shut down old socialist Sanders there. Bernie Sanders hates the fact that that there's, in many ways, past individual contributions, unlimited amounts of money that can be spent on presidential campaigns. Maybe he's just sad there weren't unlimited amounts spent on his presidential campaign.
I think there's a little bit of bitterness there. But you also have to remember that the Kamala campaign was paying superstars like Beyonce
wasting money,
millions of dollars. And they weren't even performing. They'd go up there and say some fake endorsement for her and then basically get the heck out of Dodge. And people were mad because people who probably didn't even support Kamala or care about who won were going just because they were hoping to see Beyonce perform.
Paid Oprah to get on that show. I mean, it was ridiculous the amount of money they wasted. And listen, I think way too much money is spent on political campaigns in general.
Agreed.
But it is the nature of how we operate with the... there's no way that system will ever change because the people that want to spend that money are not going to let it change. That's not going to change. It's the reality of it. The left is just mad now because our multimillionaire or billionaire outspent their multimillionaire or billionaire, and they want to then blame that spending on why they lost, even though more money was spent on their campaign. This was pretty mind-blowing. It's not surprising from Sanders. He doesn't like corporate contributions. He wants limits on all that. He thinks it was a horrible decision by the Supreme Court to ever allow that a few years ago. He wants it overturned. He keeps making the same argument. Every time Bernie Sanders opens his mouth, it's one of two or three arguments that we need everybody to pay their fair share, right? That's what he wants. Or the world is melting because of climate change, which is, of course, another hoax. Or people spend too much on campaigns. I mean, he's a socialist who has enriched himself on the government dole. Nothing Bernie Sanders says bears any significance to me. I was, however, glad to see Joe Rogan kind of shut him down yesterday. And he tried to argue, well, my point is that none of the money should be spent, but he's mainly mad at Elon Musk. Go play a cut 10 for the people, please.
Elon Musk, and I know Elon was on your show, and he's here in Austin, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And we could talk about Elon, but he spent $270 million to elect Trump as president. Okay. I think that's absurd that any one person...
What's the most someone donated towards the Harris campaign?
They spent a lot of money on Harris as
they
well.
They spent $1.5 billion just
combined
over the course of a couple of months.
You got it. All right, let me talk about it. So yeah, I'm not here just to say it's a Republican. That's my point here.
Right.
Okay.
I'm surprised he even went on with Joe Rogan, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess I am a little bit too, but
he's been on before with him.
He's been on there before.
I guess just trying to stay relevant, is that it? Because otherwise you have to know that Rogan I think is fair. I think he does obviously lean conservative, but the guy will ask tough questions to whoever he's interviewing, someone like a Bernie Sanders, as you would say.
Rogan's had a little bit of an epiphany over the last couple of years, for sure. There's no doubt about that. All right, coming up, Kim, what are we talking to Genevieve Wood about this morning?
Well, we're talking about all kinds of things. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about was just everything going on with Iran and Israel and any updates with that, because obviously you had the ceasefire, that was violated, and who knows what's going to happen next.
And maybe all this debate over supporting Israel. Like, I just can't believe Steve Bannon and all these people are as violently opposed to this as they are. It's just pretty amazing to me when I listen to it. I can't believe it. So we got Genevieve coming up. John Mills at the bottom of the hour with more on that FEMA aid that is arriving in St. Louis starting Saturday. And we'll tell you where and what they're going to be doing exactly at 7.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
35.
Tel Aviv Levin is very, he's big mad. He's big mad.
big mad because he didn't, as a spokesperson, as a spokesmodel for a foreign nation, they didn't get what they want, President Trump. And you saw why BB can't be trusted, Netanyahu can't be trusted.
The stars at night are big and bright, deep in the heart of...
Genevieve Wood joining us. She's back, ladies and gentlemen, from the Heritage Foundation Senior Advisor. Genevieve, good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be back, Mark.
Yeah, I played that bite there from Steve Bannon, and I know I didn't warn you about that in advance, but I'm watching this sort of meltdown from the right, from people like Steve Bannon and Candace Owens and MTG and a few others who are angry at, they're now angry at Donald Trump for what he did in Iran. And I don't get it. I can't wrap my brain around it. I don't know how you feel about it, but I thought I'd ask that question this morning.
No, it's one of those things. It's really odd, Mark. I just think it's people who, they went too far out on a limb, and now they don't know how to get back. I mean, they went too far out thinking, if we go in and we do anything, somehow it's going to embroil us in this long war, and this is not going to be a good thing, and on and on. And yet, that's not the way it has turned out. It's been a good thing. It looks like it's going to be a very good thing. But they went too far out on a limb, saying, if we do this, it'll be the end. We'll be in a World War III. And now they can't say, hey, guys, guess what? I was wrong. I went too far. How about Donald Trump was right again? But, you know, it's easy to come back if you have a little bit of humility. But I think in some of these cases, that's what's lacking.
Yeah. That's a good point.
The Trump administration really does keep having win after win. I know Candace Owens feels like he's been an utter disappointment and embarrassment somehow. But one of the wins came the other day, and that was specifically with Dr. Oz and RFK Jr. And they were talking about this huge reform when it comes to prior authorization with these insurance companies, because we know how many people are fully or partially insured, and yet they still get their request denied. So they're saying this is, I guess, basically going to streamline the process.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I think we've all been there, haven't you? Been to a doctor where they say, well, you need to get an MRI or you need to get this test, and it's like, oh, we got to get that authorized, and it takes 2 weeks to get it authorized. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, it's one thing if it's a broken leg, which is bad enough. That's probably not going to happen in that case. But like, it could be a colonoscopy. There's cases where it's like it takes too long to get a test, and sometimes that can make a real difference with an illness or a disease that someone has. And there's often not a rhyme or reason for it. Like sometimes it goes right through, other times it takes 2 or 3 weeks, sometimes it takes a month, and it's like, why is that? And it's because there's no standards, really. And so what they're saying is, we're going to go in, we're going to standardize the way doctors and insurance companies who are agreeing, we're going to standardize the way that we do authorizations. We're also going to make it transparent so you can see what's happening. And this is going to be something that, you know, other people have promised to do in the past, but HHS is going to go in and do, first of all, what it can do, and then it's asking Congress to codify a number of those things into law. But making more things in healthcare transparent, I'm sure any patient and doctor listening to this knows what a help that would be. If you knew what things cost, if we were transparent about that, it would be helpful. If you could see the process of how things go through the system, like authorizations, where they are in the process, that would be helpful. And that's what this is trying to do.
Well, I would say, Genevieve, if we all just step back, we should kind of go, wow. If you wonder why the conservative movement has gained so much support and why Donald Trump got reelected, 10 years ago, these are conversations, these are things Democrats were complaining about: healthcare costs, insurance companies having so many regulations, they're turning people down, the cost of prescription drugs. And now, during the Trump administration, not only is it being dealt with, they're promising to equal the playing field on what you're paying for these expensive drugs for whatever Europe pays for it. And I don't completely agree with how they're going about that, to be honest, but these are conversations that conservatives were not having a few years ago.
And to your point, Mark, these are the conversations that Americans have every single day at their dinner table, right? I mean, this is what drives people crazy,
right?
Every day is the cost of drugs. It's a healthcare system. And Obamacare didn't make any of that better. They made it more regulatory, so doctors have to file even more forms to get paid. So that slows things down. It makes insurance companies not want to pay for things. Look, there's a lot of reform that needs to happen in healthcare, but there's some things that can be done that Secretary Kennedy and Oz are talking about doing that Health and Human Services and the administration can do. But Congress will eventually have to act on some of these things. But until they do, there are things the administration can use executive powers to do, and that's why I'm glad to see them taking that up here.
Obviously, I'll never condone what happened with the UnitedHealthcare CEO where he was gunned down, but I mean, that really got the conversation going where a lot of people who may have been a little bit frustrated before thought, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. So that would be my question, is I wonder if that had anything to do with it, if it kind of escalated the importance of kind of getting some of this stuff done.
Yeah, well, I think Dr. Oz alluded to that in some of his comments in announcing these reforms. He did allude to that piece. And you're absolutely right. There is no excuse for what happened in that scene. But we all know people are frustrated with healthcare. And so much of it is because it often just doesn't make sense. You do all that you're supposed to do. You've got your insurance. You go to the doctor. The doctor files the form. And it takes a lot longer than it should to say get approval for a test. And it's like, why does it cost this? Why are they only going to fund or pay for part of it? Why aren't they going to pay for all of it? In another case, they do pay for all of it. I mean, just the rules and regulations aren't out there for everybody to see. So you're always waiting. It's a guessing game of what things are going to cost, how much you're going to be responsible for. That's what they're trying to get to, is like, let's make that stuff more transparent. Let's have people know in advance what they're walking into. And I think it's great that the insurance companies are coming to the table. They're going to be a part of this, and I think that's a good thing.
It really is. Genevieve Wood with us from the Heritage Foundation. About a minute and a half left here, but I know you guys have just updated your election integrity website to show the states that are doing the most to secure their elections.
We are. And, you should know Missouri is number 9 on that list, which is in the top 10. So that's great. There's ways you can improve. I would encourage people to go check out the scorecard because it does show. And this has been great because governors actually compete on stuff like this. They see where they're ranked. They know that voters care about this. And they're like, okay, what can we go in here do to up our score by 2 points? I mean, the state of Arkansas this past year is now tied with Tennessee at number 1. And that's because Sarah Huckabee Sanders is governor. Has gone in and made some real improvements. I mean, I think they shot up like 9 or 10, 11 points just this year alone on measures that make Arkansas a safer state for voters there to know, like, my vote is literally going to count. We're getting rid of fraud in the state. And this is stuff like, let's say the state of Tennessee just did that this year. Not only do they have good laws in their state, but they're saying we're going to share our voter rolls with other states and look at theirs so that if somebody in Tennessee moves to Missouri, they can't say registered here and also register in Missouri. That happens in a lot of places.
Sure.
Because states don't share their voter rolls.
Yeah.
That's an easy, easy thing for states to fix. So there's ways to go about it, but it's been really encouraging to see. One thing, though, that Hans von Spakovsky, who I know you know well, would tell you, though, these laws only matter if governors and legislatures and elected officials enforce them.
That's a good point.
You have all sorts of laws in the books, but they've got to be enforced. So you got to encourage people to make sure that's what their lawmakers are doing.
Genevieve, thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk next week. Appreciate that. Coming up, we'll talk more about the new FEMA a tent opening up in St. Louis. Stay tuned. Hard to believe it's been about a month? Not quite. Well, it was 1 month and about 10 days since that storm that blew through here, the tornado that did all that damage, actually. And, the recovery efforts are still underway. And now, starting Saturday, FEMA is opening up a disaster recovery center here in St. Louis. And let me get to my friend John Mills, who, of course, is former Channel 4 reporter with me for many years and now works as an external affairs officer for Region 7 for the for FEMA, for the Federal Emergency Management Agency. John, welcome back.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, you told me you're down at police headquarters this morning. Why is that?
Yeah, so our team is here supporting the state of Missouri and also the city of St. Louis, and we're working in a temporary location here really closely with city emergency management, and that's where the city is set up.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about this recovery center. I would assume the first so you've got these open up, and they're going to be open from 8 to 8, and the first one's up at the Union Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, right?
Yeah, that's right, Mark. And it opened this past Saturday, and it's open Monday through Saturday from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. And that location is really to serve people in the city of St. Louis. It's at the corner of North Newstead and Delmar. And we have a really great space that the church made available to the city and that we have staff in there. And what we're doing is sitting down with impacted residents from the May 16th tornado and helping them through the disaster assistance application process.
Do you know, John, what the greatest need is? Obviously, you talked about the application process there, but do you know what some of the other big needs are now about a month or so out from this tornado?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing people who are still living in homes that are just not safe to live in. And we're primarily here to help people who are not covered by insurance or who don't have enough insurance to begin the recovery process. So we're providing some money to give people a hand up to help them make some basic home repairs just to restore habitability to their homes or to begin the rebuilding process. We can also provide some money to survivors to help them pay for a temporary place to live and also to replace some essential personal property that was destroyed. Unfortunately, many thousands of people were directly affected by the May 16th tornado. We're hearing from thousands and thousands of people who need help, and we're helping them through that process.
Yeah. John Mills, our guest from FEMA. John, obviously there's a limit on what FEMA can do. It's not a magic fix to all of these people's problems. Like, what are the limits on what an individual might be able to receive in terms of a FEMA benefit?
That's going to vary by household. So if someone has no insurance and their home is totally gone, someone could potentially receive many thousands of dollars, but it's not going to be enough for them to rebuild that home. So it's going to vary. And that's why we work with each household on a case-by-case basis based on their specific needs. We're also, in addition to the city, working with survivors of the May 16th tornado in St. Louis County and also in Scott County for the storms that also hit Scott County near Cape Girardeau on May 16th. And then I'm also involved with our response to storms that took place in March. And that event impacted 18 counties that are designated for FEMA individual assistance, including St. Louis County, Jefferson County, Franklin County, and Phelps County, where Rolla is located, and a number of counties in southeast and south central Missouri. So we really had a lot of storms hit Missouri in March and in May. And so we're trying to help people in all of those areas, not just in the city.
When it comes to local money that some of these residents would receive who maybe had their home destroyed, I know there's an ordinance here in St. Louis City where they're able to basically hold a percentage of it. I believe it's 15 up to 20% of it, just to verify that they don't take that money basically and say, you know what, I'm not even going to fix my home up. I'm just going to leave it there as rubble, take the money and leave. Is there anything in place like that when it comes to FEMA money to make sure that it's actually going toward repairs on their home?
I think what you're referring to has to do with insurance. For FEMA assistance, we're primarily concerned with just providing people with a hand up to help them begin the recovery process. So someone may choose to make some basic home repairs and continue living in their home. Or if, depending on their specific situation, they may choose to rent another place to live temporarily or find a different rental altogether, depending on their specific situation. So we do not require someone, for example, to continue living in the exact same neighborhood or rebuild in the exact same location. People do get to make some choices about how best to rebuild and begin the recovery process that best meets their family's needs.
Yeah. John Mills, my guest, if you're just joining us, he's, of course, with FEMA. They've just opened a disaster recovery center here in St. Louis to respond to the tornado damage. And John, when all this was happening in the waiting period time for the White House to approve, to get the FEMA recovery assistance approved, talk about that process, because there were some criticisms that it seemed to take longer than normal. I didn't think so, but how does that work? How does FEMA come in and determine whether or not they're going to take part in the recovery?
FEMA comes in at the request of the governor, and we're here in support of state emergency management and the Missouri Department of Public Safety, along with the affected communities. So generally, we will get a request from the state to conduct preliminary damage assessments to gather data as rapidly as possible and provide that to the state help the governor decide whether to request a major disaster declaration. And then FEMA makes recommendations in terms of approving that. So that now that the president has approved disaster declarations for the March disaster and the May 16th disaster, people who are directly affected and have losses not covered by insurance can contact FEMA for assistance. And I have a couple of important deadlines I want to mention for people in your listening area, if that's
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, please.
Sure. So if you had damage and you are in St. Louis County, Jefferson County, or Franklin County, and if you're listening in Rolla and Phelps County, this includes you as well. So this is for the disaster that happened March 14th and 15th. So the deadline for you to apply if you have losses not covered by insurance is July 22nd. That's July 22nd. That's not the end of the assistance. That's just the application deadline. So you can call FEMA at 1-800-621-3362. It's 800-621-3362. The fastest way to apply is online at disasterassistance.gov. That's disasterassistance.gov. And you apply the same way if you had damage from the May 16th tornado. So that's for people in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, along with Scott County in southeast Missouri. So you apply online at disasterassistance.gov or by calling 800-621-3362. And Mark, in addition to the Disaster Recovery Center that we have opened at Union Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church at Newstead and Del Mar in St. Louis City, we are expecting to announce two more disaster recovery centers opening in the city in coming days. So we'll be sure to announce that. And we're also working closely with St. Louis County, looking at one or two disaster recovery centers opening in St. Louis County, both for the March and the May disasters.
Very good. John, great having you on. It's been a while, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark and Kim. Really appreciate you having me on and helping get the word out to disaster survivors.
Yep. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure. My friend John Mills there, now with FEMA. He and I worked together for probably 10 years down at Channel 4, roughly. And then he moved on, did some reporting elsewhere, and then eventually went to work for the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Always nice to know another Channel 4 survivor.
Yeah, no kidding. People, there is life after Channel 4, for sure. There's plenty of us to prove that. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a whim. What are we talking about?
You know, cities, states, even countries in some cases love to brag about titles like best of, you know, best place to retire. Missouri's ranked usually pretty high for one of the best states to retire, best place to start a family. Well, now one country is claiming it's the best place to have herpes. And the reason they're all excited about that title, well, I think it'll surprise you. I'll explain.
Right. Coming up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm sorry to disappoint one of our listeners, Rob, on Facebook, who says that St. Louis has to be the herpes capital, because apparently we cannot claim that title. I know many of you really, really were hoping for that.
On.
I know.
We got to be number one in something. I thought we were number one in STDs. I thought we were for a while.
I would think meth.
Oh, no.
No, I don't know about that either. But no, the actual country that's claiming that it's the best place in the world to have herpes is, if you'd like to move there, New Zealand. So New Zealand launched this, well, I'm going to call it a tongue-in-cheek campaign. It was kind of like a tourism campaign about herpes. And their goal here, they say, is to destigmatize it. They want to normalize the condition and encourage open conversations about it. Now, what I think should be noted is there are two types of herpes. You've got what? Type 1 and type 2. You have the type that shows up on your mouth that's very annoying, called a cold sore, that I'm sure a lot of people get. But then you also have the other one, you know, the genital herpes, which is a very different in my mind. And I don't think that we should be normalizing that.
We shouldn't be normalizing
massive obesity like we try to do here in the United States, but saying, you know, let's not body shame. I'm not saying you go around calling people fat. That's inappropriate. I don't stand for that. But I don't think that we should sit here and tell you if you weigh 700 pounds that everybody is beautiful. No, that's not good for your health. I'm sorry. I feel for you if you have herpes. And I'm not talking about one. I'm talking about two. But let's not normalize that.
There's no cure for it, right?
I can't say that I know because I haven't dug too much into herpes.
I don't think that there is. Just like if you have the type that causes cold sores, you can take medicine to control it. But I don't think there's a cure for it.
Well, I'm Googling it.
Unlike,
this says no, there is currently no cure for herpes.
Yes.
Listen to part of this campaign that they were airing in New Zealand as part of this.
Because no other country is strong enough to tackle this issue. As a former coach of the best team in the world, at the best game in the world, I know what it takes to be the best in the world. With a bit of education, we can beat the stigma. Let's make New Zealand the best place in the world to have herpes. The best place in the world to have herpes.com.
You can go there, by the way, if you'd like to learn more. But they had some of these celebrities, I guess, that I've never heard of. But they had some celebrities, like a boxer and whatever, who were part of this video, again, to try to destigmatize it. And just, I guess, get the conversation going. But
the best place in the world to have herpes.
Yeah. And it, that video, by the way, it's a lot longer. I just wanted to play a short clip for you. But it did end up winning the top prize. I guess it's called the Cairns Lion. I hope I'm saying that correct. We looked it up. It's not spelled like Leon. So it looks like it's the Cairns Lion Film Festival. But it ended up getting the top prize there because it was really well done, I guess.
According to AI, Kim... That's artificial intelligence. That's two words.
Oh, is it two letters? I just want to make sure.
According to AI, St. Louis ranks eighth now. We've dropped.
What?
We're still in the top 10.
For herpes?
It says, no, for STDs.
Oh, okay.
For all sexually STDs. Transmitted infections. They've now changed it from a disease to
so
an infection.
Proud.
We rank eighth among U.S. metro areas for the highest rates of sexually transmitted infections, according to a recent report. Specifically, the city has an STI rate of 1,314 cases per 100,000 people. The report highlighted higher than average case counts for HIV, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis in the St. Louis metro area. Sorry if you're eating breakfast right now, but I had to read that one when I saw it.
I'm so proud. Well, you know, we have been called the meth. I brought up meth earlier. We have been kind of deemed the meth capital of America, but I don't think we've actually officially gotten that title. Unfortunately,
no.
I know I'm disappointing a lot of you, but...
there was a time when we were number one. If, in case you're wondering, like if you travel a lot and you're thinking, oh my God, who's number one if we're not? Here you go. From 10 to 1... The 10th worst is San Francisco, then Baton Rouge, then St. Louis. Washington, D.C. is number 7. New Orleans is number 6. Baltimore is number 5. Memphis, Tennessee is number 4 at 1,430 cases per 100,000 people. Montgomery, Alabama, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and ladies and gentlemen, taking first place in the poll for the city with the highest rate of sexually transmitted diseases, Detroit, Michigan. With a rate of nearly 1,500 cases per 100,000 people.
Is it too much to ask to just be number one in something?
Well, I just want to know if they're marketing that properly up in Detroit, because you got to have some reason to go to Detroit other than the football team.
Maybe we need to actually put out some sort of an ad campaign like New Zealand did to try to become number one in the STD.
The next time Ryan Recker fills in for me, I want you to bring this up and ask him, because he lives in Detroit now. Ask you, not that
he
would.
Here's a fun fact for you, Ryan.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure he's aware of it, just like we were here.
I bet they're proud there in Detroit.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Attorney General Andrew Bailey and why he wants the St. Louis Sheriff to resign by noon today. We'll be right back with that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.